I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Be seated, please. As I have said, this is a day when mothers are especially in our minds. I want to take the word mother in a simple acrostic, and I want to take each letter that spells it out, and I want to bring a message from the Holy Scriptures on this very important subject. Of course, the word mother commences with the letter M. And I want first of all to speak upon the miracle of motherhood. Drawing your attention to the second chapter of Genesis. It is most interesting to note that although Adam was not born like any other man that was ever walked in this world, yet here in this chapter, he tells us something that has happened in every generation of human flesh on this planet. He says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. But at that time, there was no fatherhood as we know it. Adam was made directly by the hand of God. And his wife Eve, his partner, she was taken from a bone in Adam's body, and the rib was taken by the master hand, and a woman was made. And yet this man, Adam, he knew all that. And he not only knew that, but he knew something more. He knew that a man should leave his father and mother. But Adam, what about your father and mother? I don't have one, so I have none to leave. This is a most interesting study of how Adam was talking for all humanity. We read the scriptures, you know, and we don't pause and consider just the bombshell they are. And here is a man who didn't leave his father and mother, for he was made directly by the hand of God. And yet he was able to say, the first days of the history of this planet, that they shall be one flesh. This shows, of course, the wonder of it all. And so we are fixed at the miracle of motherhood. And what a miracle it is. And the wonderful thing about it was the making of the woman. For without the woman there could be no motherhood. So we're faced with the miracle of motherhood. But let's come to the second letter. The second letter is, of course, O. And that speaks to me of the order of motherhood. And I'd like you to take your Bible now and turn with me to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, to the chapter 66, and the verses 5 to verse 9 in this chapter. And it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word." Verse 5 of Isaiah 66. "Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear it in joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendeth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing?" We're still in the field of the supernatural, of the miraculous. And here we find the order of the motherhood, and it is in the miracle language of a miracle experience. And so, Eve, who came directly from Adam, was immediately the mother of all nations and of all mothers, the order of motherhood. And here was a miracle wrought for the propagation of the Adamic race upon this earth. You know, the Bible is God's book. We read it, we scan it, we set it down. But if we would only read it, and read it, and read it again, we would discover it's a miracle book, and it is a drawing aside of the curtain, looking within, and seeing what God is doing. So we not only have the miracle of motherhood, we have the order. But the next letter in the word mother is, of course, T. The triumph of motherhood. And could I ask you now to turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. And when we come to 1 Kings chapter 3, we have a statement there that is well worth reading. There was a king, his name was Solomon. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, we read about a court case demanding the decision of the king. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, "O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son that is dead. And the other said, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one, and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned after her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. There we have the triumph of motherhood. Beautifully told us in this incident, in the life, the early life of King Solomon. How wise was the king, but how strong was the triumph of motherhood. We should rejoice in good mothers. Once the great Napoleon, at the height of his power over France and Europe, was asked by one of his opponents, what did he think was the most important thing a country should have? And he said, that's easily answered. Good mothers. The state of our land today rests with the mothers. And the people of God should be among the first to line up at the throne of God and pray for the mothers of our kingdom. That motherhood, pure, sweet, clean, miraculous, might triumph, and evil might be swept out of our home, and the chains of evil be snapped over the children in those homes. The fourth letter making up the word mother is, of course, the H. And that is the happiness of motherhood. What a happiness the birth of the child brings to a home. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19, we read of the answer to the prayer of a woman who was torn in her heart because she had no family. And she cried to God, and God heard her prayer, and she had a son. And what a son it was, Samuel, the mighty man of God. And not only that, I turn to the New Testament in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And you just turn over in your Testament to Luke chapter 18. And there we read about our Lord when he was upon this earth. And we read about an incident that took place in our Lord's life. Verse 15, Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. And they brought unto him, that is to the Savior, also infants, that he would touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever that shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And of course, if you read the other Gospels, you'll read that Christ took them up in his arms. He put his hands upon them and he blessed them. Oh, that God would take up our children in his arms and set them upon his knee and give them his blessing. If you're going to win your family for Christ, you need to start from the very birth. And when the child is born, it should live in the atmosphere of prayer, of the honoring of the Savior's name, of respect for his word and his will. What a wonderful thing it is, the happiness of motherhood. I was telling a man the other day, he was telling me about the old Baptist church in Ballymena, which has been pulled down and a new church has been erected. And I was passing the old church and I saw all the men there and the pastor was there, and I walked in and I said, Pastor, I've come to ask a favor. Well, he said, Mr. Paisley, if we can do it, we'll do it. Well, I said, it's very simple. And I walked down the aisle to the last seat but one in the church. And I said, it was there in that old pew as a lad of 6 years of age that I came to Christ. And I want that seat. And I'll pay for it. He said, you'll not pay for it at all. We'll donate it to you. And when I went home and said I had got the seat, they said, what are you going to do with it? I said, I'm going to have the little tin hall that I first preached in 6 Mile Cross. I'm going to have it transferred to the garden here of the college. And in that, there's going to be one seat. And that's the seat where I met with Jesus Christ. And when I'm down there, I go to that little tin hut where I first preached the gospel in when it was in 6 Mile Cross. And I kneel at that form And I'm not ashamed to say I cover it with my tears and joy. It was there when it happened, and I ought to know. The Spirit burning in me set my heart aglow. And I praise the Lord today. He has washed my sins away. I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. And in the book of everlasting life, in the everlasting and indestructible handwriting of Christ Himself, He has marked the day and the hour when He brought me to Himself. Oh, 'twas love, was wondrous love, the love of God to me. He brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. It's a wonderful thing to be saved and to be on our way to the glory land. And we're getting nearer, nearer every day. A person said to me once, "What's the first thing, Ian, you'll do when you get to heaven?" I said, "I'll shout so loudly at the gate that the people will know I have arrived." And this man said, "That's a good answer. I'll shout along with you." Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The happiness of motherhood. Could I come to the letter E now, and that speaks to me of the eternity of motherhood. You say, where are you going to get this one from? Well, it's the last book of the Bible. And in the last book of the Bible, we're back to the same language as the second chapter of the book of Genesis. And we read there in chapter 21 of Revelation, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, and prepared as a bride," prepared as a bride, "adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Oh, thank God that this relationship with Christ is eternal. And the very language is the language of husband and wife and of the mother. And thank God that understanding will be in heaven at the end of the day, or the never ending of the day of God's great eternity. The last letter of the word is R. And that brings me to reward. And what a reward the mothers will get when they present their children in that great day of everlasting joy in the heaven of heavens. And I would ask you to turn now to Isaiah, the book of the prophecy of Isaiah. at the chapter 8. And I would ask you to look with me at verse 18. The 18th verse of the 8th chapter of Isaiah. Behold, I am the children whom the Lord hath given me. And someday our rewards will be measured by those we have brought with us to the city of God. Father and mother, you have a duty to your children to see that they're brought to Christ early in years. God does not want your child to be destroyed in this depraved earth. God wants you, your child, to be preserved by His grace. We have the promise, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But that's not the end of it. And thy house. This book is a book of the family. And God's salvation is for the family. My eldest brother, and the only brother I have, he was very wild when he was a young man. He broke my father and mother's hearts on many occasions. The things he did. And when the war broke out, although he was only 16, he signed up as being 18. And he went into the RAF. And he went from bad to worse and worse. And then one day, he disappeared. And for one whole year, we never heard anything about him. My father, of course, got in touch with the Air Force authorities and they gave him a letter to say his son had enlisted as a young man of 18 and he was only 16. And we have found out that we had to lower him and tell him we couldn't keep him, but he was welcome to remain with the boys in the lower offices of the terms used by the RAF. But of course he wouldn't do that. And so he just left. And he walked out of the RAF and he went to the Merchant Navy. And in the very thick of the fight with Germany, he crossed the Atlantic Ocean. And one of the convoys that he was in, 8 of their ships were blown to pieces and sank with all hands. He came back, and one day we had a knock on the door. We were on holiday. And when we opened the door there, he was standing. He had gone to Ballymena, where we lived at the time, and nobody was there. So he hired a push bike, for he had no money, and he rode all the way to Warm Point. And there he was standing at the door. And he said, "It's a new man that's here." He said, "I've got converted." And so he did. And converted he was. And he became the preacher that he became among the brethren people. A winner of souls. But I was in college during the time he was in the RAF. And he came to see me one day. And he said to me, "Ian, you're a fool. This is all nonsense. but being saved. And I said, are you saying your mother believed nonsense? Yes, he said. And your father? Yes, he believed nonsense. Well, I want to tell you I believe it still. And he said, well, you'll do something for me. You may never see me again. I'm going back on the boat. You'll come and watch a good picture with me. And in one of the theaters in Cardiff, there was a picture that was causing great disturbance. And he said, I want to go and see it. And I want to take you with me. He says, you'll not be taking me with you. I'll not be going. And he said to me, I went to that cinema that day, and he says, I could hear you saying, I will not be with you, I'll not be going. And he said that was the first thing that started to make people leave the world and join with those who walk with God in the right delight of his word. And thank God, God changed him. I was talking to him the other day, very strangely, and he said, I want a favor from you. And I said, what's your favor? He says, you know, I've printed a lot of books. I said, yes, and I've read most of them. And I said, some of them are quite good. They're quite good. I would go with you a fair way with them. And he says, well, he says, I'm going to print my last book. My days of writing are over. But he says, I got a strange letter from the firm that is printing them. And I said, what was your letter? He said, the letter demanded that I must get you to write the foreword to this. Imagine me writing the foreword for a piece of Brethren theology. Just imagine that. And I laughed. And I said, well, if this is going to happen, I have to get a solemn vow from you. There'll be no change made in my foreword. If you don't like it, you don't use it. But I said, it's got to go in, that's all. So I wrote a foreword, and 2 days afterwards I had a ring from him. He said, that was a great foreword. He said, I could agree with that. Well, I said, that's what I believe. And I set out what I believe in simple, plain language. And the other day I got a copy of the book, and their copy of Leading Brethren preacher Ian Paisley writing the foreword. So that will go down in history. That was ecumenism in the right way. And God has blessed the book already, and I'm sure he will bless it. Motherhood. What a responsibility every mother has. But what a responsibility every father has. And if our families are not saved, we need to redouble our efforts in prayer. That God will show them changed, transformed. Thank God there's wonderful power in the blood of Christ. And the blood shall never lose its fire till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more.